up, though? Welcome to the Airbit Free Game Producer Podcast. My name is Andre, and as usual, I got the big homie, the super producer, the multi-platinum producer, Will Power in the building. What up, homeboy?
What it do? What it do? What it do? What it do? What it do?
Yo, man, we got a crazy environment right now, man. We are at the Bandwidth Studios A Room, and if you can hear some stuff going on in the background,
yeah.
It's the block party about to kick off tonight, man. Yeah, what's going on, Will, man? What's happening, man?
It's a crazy, crazy week. Of course, everybody knows it's A3C weekend here in Atlanta, so it's already going live. It's going digital.
For sure.
We also doing the Bandwidth block party, man. So
we up in there, big light.
You already know, man. So, like, really, man, we just trying to have a good time, man. You know, take advantage of some of the festival activities, man. People being in town. We got, you know, a lot of artists in town, a lot of producers.
For sure.
A lot of industry cats came through this weekend. You know,
for
so
sure.
I'm just trying to catch up while they're here, you know, instead of having to go through the whole process of trying to bring people to Atlanta. We just, you know, want to, you know, do what we got to do. And it's, I think it's just the last day of A3C, so we're not really in the way of other things going on.
Right.
But, you know, we did a little private joint, man, a little 500 people.
Yeah.
RSVP type joint, you know what I'm saying?
My goodness.
On this half acre of land back here at Bandwidth Studios, you know how
nice.
We do?
Nice, nice. So by the time you see this video, it would have already done went down. You know what I'm saying? So check the social media, you know
check
what I'm saying?
Check social media.
And see what's popping.
Yeah, we definitely got, like, film crews coming out tonight, man. A mm-hmm. lot of people going to be in the building, so... it's going to be fun, man. It's going to be fun.
Dope, man. And right before we recorded this, we got a dope, dope interview.
Crazy
man,
interview.
With Young Fire, man.
Yeah.
And when I tell you it's motivation, you know what I'm saying? And it's good information. We talk about technical stuff for producing.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about just the business of producing.
Yeah.
And then we get into some deep spiritual stuff, too.
It's what the show is really about, man.
Yeah.
You know, one thing, you know, it's one thing for us to get the marquee named producers on the show, which is really important.
Yeah.
But at the same time, man, you know, I think that's what the whole purpose of the show is, to highlight those guys that you don't know about that are doing big shit.
Yeah.
And, like, to me, Fire is someone that I'm a real big fan of.
For sure.
And so, you know, when I was able to lock this in, I was super excited because I know, you know, that he goes way back to the T-Pain days. He goes back to
Tech
fucking
Nine.
Tech Nine.
Lil
he worked
Wayne.
With Will Smith.
Yeah.
Fucking Sire. He did, Jaden Smith shit. Like, this dude... crazy, and he's in the tech game, like just like you said, man. So mm-hmm. at the end of the day, man, that's what this is all about, bro. So I'm super excited. This is like Sports Sunday for me right now.
For sure,
it's
man.
Going down.
So I think we should just stop messing around and get right into it.
Yeah, let's do
saying?
It, man. Let's go.
Free Game Podcast, Airbit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Free Game.
Welcome back to the Free Game Producer Podcast. We got a very, very special guest in the building. You will know his music from like Jaden Smith, Will Smith.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Britney Spears, but he's got a deep discography. I'm talking about way back, Tech N9ne, T-Pain, you know, Lil Wayne. We got Young Fire in the building. How you doing, sir?
Yo, I'm doing blessed, brother. I appreciate that. That's a great intro. I need that everywhere I go.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, and I even left off names. You got a lot of names on that. You know, Rick Ross, a lot of names on that production discography.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Thank you, brother.
And we were talking before we started recording, you've been around for so long, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Putting in work, you know?
Yeah.
From like the Rockwilder had this thing called the Rock Battle.
Yeah.
And I remember when that went down,
yes,
like
sir.
Way back in the day. And you were like real young.
Oh, yeah.
Real young on there.
Oh, yeah.
Killing like it.
17, 18. I was
that's
still
crazy.
Living in Iowa.
Yeah.
You know, I'm from Des Moines, Iowa.
Shout out Des Moines,
wait,
Iowa.
Wait, what's in Iowa, dog? Like, how did...
A whole lot of white people, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting place to grow up, man. It's like 90% white.
Yeah.
Literally. 10% everything else. So,
yeah.
So it's a very interesting place to grow up. Not much to do. I mean, it's good for me because I was a creative and my mind was wild. And if I would have lived in like LA or New York, I probably would have been distracted.
Yeah.
So what were your musical influences growing up in Des Moines, Iowa? That's interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. You know, most of the music is pop, rock, country.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, obviously my parents are still black, so
we
listen to all all the R&B growing up. But nobody in my family really did music like that. It was like a very just regular house. I kind of just picked that up on my own. You know, like I just had a weird love for music. And I think my grandma got a keyboard in her house at like 10.
Mm-hmm.
When I was like 10, and it just like, I just was drawn to it. I still suck at keyboard, by the way. I just love it.
Hey, man, listen, same with me. Like people always ask, you know, as a producer, what's your like main instrument? Truth is, man, I'm just a great programmer. Like, I love music so much, I know how to get to the sounds that I want.
Absolutely.
And I really just use the keyboard as a tool.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I was younger and, you know, just kind of playing around on them types of things, it was like, I know how to make it make sense, but if I had to do like a, you know, if I had to play something for somebody like at church or something, nah, bro.
Yeah. Nah. Yeah, no, I'm glad you brought that out because I think a lot of people feel a way about that if they can't really do that. I used to feel a way about it for sure. Like,
yeah.
You know, like you want to do it, but it's like, it's such a different type of thing. Like, and if you don't, you can make yourself feel a way about it, but in reality, like you said, it's just a tool. And I think people got to minimize it just to that.
Absolutely, because I know one thing for sure. When we are listening to the music, nobody's there to see it anyway. It's a feeling. It's about, 100%. You know, what were you able to accomplish emotionally with a person when it comes to music? So at the end of the day, you know, it's partly why, like, when we have the old school versus new school conversation sometime with people, I'm always like, bro, these kids are killing it out here. They found a way to make this shit dope with the way they make shit dope. It's no different than us. You know?
Listen, I don't even have conversations with those people. Yeah. I'm not trying to get old, bro. Like, get out of here with that. Yeah. Get out of here with that shit. Stop hating. It don't matter. Face-ass it does not matter. Real shit, like, stop hating. It's just hate. You know, you just don't like the way it's being done. I don't appreciate it. I'm cool. I love to see somebody winning, so.
Absolutely.
Like, however you winning, that's dope. You're not out here killing people, doing weird stuff.
Right.
We making music. This is about fun. People forget that it's about fun. When we started, this was for fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't about money and even the technicality of things. Like, I spent a good portion of my talk yesterday at A3C, which was nothing. It was supposed to be about mix, but I just can't not talk about real things when I'm on a mic. And it's like, you know, I really want producers to know that other producers' opinions is not as important as you think
they are.
Good game. Right.
Damn.
It's one of those things that we get caught up on big time. You know what I'm saying? Like, especially as you get better and get more senior to it, you start to care about things that may matter personally for the art, but they don't really matter to the end consumer. And I think it's a big problem. It's a big problem.
Like, it is a big problem.
Like, you'll look at your producer homies, that's super dope, and you know, you'll be like, oh man, that's crazy. And then you'll look at these young kids and be like, man, that's whatever. But then when you look at the data, young kids blowing these crazy producers out.
Bro,
killing. So it's like, it's numbers. Like, you can be delusional if you like, but I'm not going to be delusional, but we in this. This is a business. And, you know, and I think how I'm able to be me in this game is understanding that what I do it for. I do it for fun.
Right.
So anything that I'm doing, whether it's a trap joint, R&B joint, pop joint for Britney Spears, Will Smith joint, whatever, it's always going to be fun.
I wanted to talk to that man because you're definitely one of the most diverse producers that I know.
Thank you, bro.
You know, to know that I've seen you get all the way in the trap with Trinidad James, you know, and then also pull off records with like Kalani and stuff like that. It's like,
oh yeah,
that's a wide spectrum of like, you know, just ability. Does that come from like how you study music?
Yes, or absolutely. Absolutely. It's a big part of it because music is fun. Like, I couldn't even not do music if I didn't. It's just so, I can't not do it. You know, I'm always ingesting it. And since I'm from Iowa, I ingested everything. Like, I literally ingested everything, bro, from the 70s to the country to the hardcore. We got Slipknot. Like, I know Slipknot songs.
That's
you know, like, it's crazy. And that's why, you know, one of my first placements is Tech Nine. That's actually my actual first placement is Tech Nine.
Yeah.
And, you
shout
know,
out to Tech Nine.
Tech Nine,
put a lot
the
of
greatest.
On, man.
Bro, the greatest.
For sure.
The greatest.
Yeah.
Super underserved. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But he started me out. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, the diversity definitely came from just like listening to everything.
Yeah.
And I think for me also, the diversity is in respect because I have a respect for everything. So when I'm listening to the music, I hate when someone tries to do something when you can almost feel the money in it. Like they just,
they're
trying
on,
to
man.
Do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're like, man,
the money in it.
Man, I'm trying to get the money, man. You know, and it's fine. I get it. But like, for me to move, I got to feel it. You know what I'm saying? That's a bigger conversation too. Like, I didn't do trap for a really long time in the traditional sense because I couldn't connect to it.
Right.
Like in a way that was
it
like
it felt forced, bro.
It felt forced. Yeah. It felt weird.
Right.
Like, I felt like a poser.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And,
and I just can't operate in that frequency. It really bothers me.
Yeah.
I
can connect with you on that. Like, you know, I have my own southern style of production, but like people want you to kind of do a certain thing.
Yeah.
I understand it. I know exactly how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But until it's like what I want to do or what woke me up that morning, then it's just kind of like, I don't know. I'll be all right until I can
feel like,
figure it out.
Here's the thing. Besides the beat being dope and all the other stuff happening around the songs and all that, it's really your faith in the song.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we really talk about.
Yeah.
If you don't connect to it, you don't ever believe it's going to really win.
Come on, man.
You don't believe it's going to win. In your mind, if you're posing, you feel posed. Like, I feel like
you know you're posing, right?
So the whole time, you waiting for somebody to catch you, basically. Like, no, if you had this weird feeling of just posing, so you can't really believe a record into like being a big record.
Yeah.
That's why I feel like the young kids do so well. They don't have that.
They don't have.
They don't have that. They just doing them.
Yeah.
And then they just believe the hell that they're gonna win. If they get a win early, of course I'm gonna keep believing I'm winning. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
So how do you approach it when, being that you're so diverse, meaning like you know exactly how to do trap mm-hmm. music, you also know how to do rock music and other things.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say one a great opportunity comes across the table. Is it something that you normally sit with first before deciding to do it? Or, you know, a lot like we said, in some cases, a lot of producers are just, they're there for the check. So if the check is there, they're gonna do the job. Do you like to sit with it and you know?
I haven't really been put in a situation, honestly, personally, that challenged my, like, belief. I think I get approached in the way that,
it's
that I
comfortable
put out.
For you, right?
You know what I mean?
So like, sought out in a sense.
Yeah, like, it doesn't, it doesn't really happen the other way around.
Yeah.
But given that situation, I would just do me.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, we gonna always do them because it's for the artists, and if they with me, then we gonna always do you because you're not gonna like it. We're not gonna do it.
That's
so,
right.
You know, so I'll still do me, though, you know, like. But I'm going to give them what they want. At the end of the day, like, who cares? It's so egotistical. Yeah. Like, it's crazy. It's so crazy.
It is crazy.
It's so crazy, bro. You working for the artist.
That's right.
It's so crazy. Yeah. Like, who? I try to remove myself as much from the opinion. Like, I know I got to have a really strong opinion because I'm a producer, blah, blah, blah. But I'm looking at the artist. Like, how do you feel?
Because
they're also the biggest part of the belief of this song. They got to take this whole life. Like, this is their life.
Yeah.
Life. Like, I'm working with Trinidad really closely right now. So I've worked with a lot of artists like closely, but for, you know, this is my guy. We're doing a joint project and this is my guy.
Yeah.
So like I'm paying attention and you become these records as an artist. You know what I mean? Like you can't just like it. Like it makes so much sense why you don't get placements. Like they got to love, bro. I gotta go out here. I gotta go perform this bitch.
Yeah.
I gotta go have my people put a whole staff to get the radio on this. I gotta get internet. I gotta do content for this. Mm-hmm. I gotta love this song, bro. I gotta hear it a million times. You know what I mean? Like, it's a lot of shit going on. Like, even for the producers, we just be so egotistical. We think that, you know, we got a hot beat, got a hot song. What the hell? Why ain't working, man?
Yeah, like, that's a strong message we try to, you know, push out here is, you know, you got to be of service first.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's never going to work if you're not there to, you know, serve the artist and make sure that they're getting what what they signed up for.
Absolutely.
To speak to the whole Trinidad thing, you know, I've been fortunate enough to see you guys work and I know what's coming, you know, and I'm just like, I will say right now, you have figured it out, you know, I've known Nick a long time. This is a good friend of mine, man, and we made some great music together, but he is definitely one of those artists where like, bro, you're going to have to get on his level to figure out what this is for it to be magical because he's very magical. It's going to happen. And
bro.
I see that in what you guys have done because I've heard records, bro, that I can't wait for other people to hear. But it's just like,
That's love.
It's definitely a dope frequency, man. It's something, you know.
I don't like to compare it to anything, but there's just so, like, it's such a crazy connection. I've literally worked with, like you said, so many people.
Yeah.
And I've always had a good, you know, connection with everybody, but it's just a crazy, it's like if two bombs just met, like creatively, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like on the beat side, I can do anything. And on the writing side and artistry side, he can do anything.
Yeah, that's right.
So the album is like a musical buffet. It's crazy. Like
that's
it's
crazy.
Just like we go on everything and everything is great and everything is done with respect and love because we two of the realest people.
The
ever.
Realest, bro.
You know what I mean?
This
like
is
really,
facts. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like for real, like he's you know, and that it's just, it's like, it's dope when you find somebody that aligns with you on your principles, you know what I mean, as a man.
Very important.
As a man, you know what I'm saying? Because it takes it a different level.
I wanted to speak to that, man, because I follow you online, you know what I'm saying? I'm a huge fan of yours, by the way,
my
just
brother.
In case you don't know.
Likewise.
So, you know, but I'm really into the idea of, like, you're really into your family.
Mm-hmm.
You got a new son.
Yes, sir.
And you just have a good time online with it, you know, and I noticed, I can tell through your social media that you unplug sometimes.
Oh, all yes.
And you're just like, nah, I ain't doing all that. I'm doing this. This is important. My boy
808 Tricks.
Yeah, man. Yeah, so I just think that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I like that, man. I like the fact that you have balance. Is that something like you've earned over time or learned over
Absolutely,
time?
Absolutely, man. My son and my girl have taught me more than any of these sessions.
Yeah.
And even going into the sessions, like really getting into who I am, you know what I mean, and what matters to me. when you start to figure that out, that's when you really are really winning. When you figure out who the hell you are.
Come on, man.
For real. Like, who you really are. Because everybody's powerful. You just got to get into what that is. Yep. And, you know, I feel like it takes time. And I think there is no answer to the when or how, but it's just like when it happens, recognizing that it happens and then cultivating it as it's happening.
Yeah.
It's ultimately powerful. And I feel like it's not like I'm a different person today than I was 5 years ago or anything, but I literally feel like a whole new person understanding myself better. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's good to know, man. Cause a lot of producers are struggling with regular life and then studio.
Yeah.
Life, you know?
Yeah.
Mental health, all kinds of things, bro. Bills.
Real.
Life, you know,
hey, man, the elephant in the room, like I said, we in Atlanta right now, so it's a little cheaper, but I'm in L.A.
Yeah.
And so shit is expensive, okay? Like, we was going to talk about that. It's another level. Like, it's another level.
Yeah.
And so, like, one of the bigger things for producers and, like, what they don't understand, I mean, what they can't really talk about is the fluctuation of this income and then the steadiness of your outgoing.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's the thing that you just got to that's what makes me so serious about this. That's why I love L.A. Because LA puts you on your shit. Like Atlanta, it was so easy. I had a big ass house down here. Yeah. I lived here for 4 years too. And I had a big ass house down here. It's so easy, bro. This is like Iowa, but with cool people.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, no shade to Iowa, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like a bunch of cool. And it's like, first of all, let me get back to that. Hold on. Because when I moved to Atlanta, this is crazy.
Shock.
Oh, my God, bro. I just told it was 90% white people in Iowa, bro.
Yeah. Oh, wow. It's Atlanta? Oh, yeah. Night and day.
Yo.
Flip it over.
But it probably was the most inspiring thing I ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Like, I never seen in Iowa, the people of my hue do not have success, like not real success. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I love Atlanta for that, man. It's a great platform to get your life in order.
Yeah.
I think it'll teach you real quick that you have a lot of ability and a lot of possibilities.
Yeah.
So if you just get your shit together, you can easily do it. And this is a great place because they give you opportunities here.
Yeah.
And it's not like that everywhere. I mean, I've even been to L.A. and, you know,
oh no!
Certain black people ain't gonna get certain things.
Oh, no, it's different. It's just like a different vibe in L.A. But you know, out here, I mean, my neighbors were all. I live in an affluent black neighborhood. That was crazy to me.
Yeah,
like my neighbors are mowing their lawn and shit. Like, I'm like, what is going on? Am I in fucking Pleasant? What is happening? But it was crazy. I promise you. I'm like, but the L.A. is like just like a graduation. I feel like to me, my career has been like a graduation.
Yeah,
you know, you go this. And I try to always elevate. Yeah. I try to always elevate in some way. And sometimes it's behind the scenes. Sometimes it's more mental and like understanding myself. And then sometimes it's career shit. But L.A. was like that boy. You know what I'm saying? Like it really gets you like what's up.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh man, so I want to kind of jump into another part of your career. Like so. Just so you know, who put me on to you is Focus.
Oh, my brother. Focus.
Shout out,
my
Focus.
God.
Focus
put me on to you. So, I'm, you know, Focus was out here in Atlanta for a little while, a few years ago. And we used to go to his, he called it the alien, something with his studio, was some type of alien thing. And it was really dope. But he kept pulling up he was doing some shit to his tracks, man, where they were like slowing them down half speed and doing all this crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And he kept telling me about you. And that's when I started following you and started finding out that like you were really doing dope shit. And you know,
The fire effect. Yeah.
The fire effect, yes, man, sir. Was the first thing, dude. Can you talk about that? Cause like, there's a whole nother side to you that I don't know if many people know it, but you're like in like music tech as well.
Yeah, music tech. That's the real baby.
Come on, talk to us, man. Cause this is, I want to learn about this. This is the part of it that I think all of the young producers should be striving for, is to find a way to expand.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said, going back to the income, you know, you gotta build some type of organization in your life as a creative man. I think it's very important, and it's to your dismay not to do it. You know, we do it so long, we just get, you know, that's kind of the reason why I think we love it so much. Like being a big kid, you can do whatever you want whenever you want.
Yeah,
but When I started Audio Box, you gotta get in the system. Like if you want to expand a business, it's organization and systems. And so I'll take you to like when I actually started. I started Audio Box in 2000. The idea of it in like 2016, 2017.
Mm-hmm.
In 2015, I broke my hip on some really random crazy shit, and it took me out of the game for a good chunk of time.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys have ever taken any time off. Like where you can't do nothing music, and that shit is like torture. It's like prison. Like when you can't do nothing creative.
Right.
So you hit my hip was out. I couldn't do nothing. Like I literally can't go to the bathroom by myself.
Right.
And had to find a way to be creative. And I had already been doing a bunch of multi effects on my tracks. And what I wanted to do with the fire effect was create something that combined a couple of effects that I always used and made it really simple and ran really light because also the plugins I was using was like heavy.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? I'm going to just do it, figure out how to do it. And
that's dope.
I found a graphic designer that was crazy cold, and I found a really dope coder. Started talking to them, got them together, made the first plugin. I held it to myself for like a year and didn't even do anything. Like I just like
just
wanted to use
it.
You know what I mean? And then I was like, I should probably sell this because this is dope. And I'm like, and I started to see it be a wave. I started seeing people use the kind of variation of what I was doing. It was being a wave. Let me sell it. So I started that, and then it just became a whole other thing. Like I started just selling that plugin, and then people loved it. And I'm like, okay, I got to make something else now. And so I started doing packs because I felt like I had all these loops sitting on my computer. What am I going to do with these? I don't use them.
Right.
And just put them together, start making packs.
Yeah, well, I think, so I use Fire Effect big time. You know what I'm saying? I put my whole team on it. So, like, we're like, you know, we like, you know how it is, man. When you're doing sound design and you're trying to create something really fresh and new, it's always good to have tools for it.
Yes.
Recently, though, you put this snare joint out.
Oh, yeah.
Am I saying it right?
Because it's snare. Yeah, it's spelled weird.
Listen, bro.
Yeah, Audio Box, by the way, is spelled A-U-D-E-O.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for that clarification, my man. Yeah.
A-D-E-O. So I just want to say, man, as a producer, these aren't just your run-of-the-mill, like, lame plugins. Like, they're, like, usable plugins.
Yeah.
Like, the snare is kind of like a transient style joint. Listen, we've been putting it on snares. That's one thing. But we put it on kicks.
Yeah,
I put it on guitar before. I'm using this joint, yo. Yeah. Like, just, it's crazy, though. But
thank you. Thank
I did want to give you props, man, because, like, one of the things for me with plugins is the visual aspect is really important.
Yeah.
Well, the snare joint, like every time you hit it, it lights up in the
actual head of the drum.
The head of the drum
moves.
Wobbles and shit. It's really dope, bro. I wanted to give you props on that. I think that you're definitely headed in the right, you know, down the right path with that because
thank you, man. Shout out to my brother Infinity. Me and him did that plugin together.
That's really dope.
The snare is the one. Like snare is beautiful, bro. Like it's like we're progressing towards something really dope. The next wave of plugins is gonna be crazy. We're doing stuff. I'm so glad what you said. It's about usability. It's about usability and being light. Like I want you to use them in all your sessions. Like
that's right.
I don't. You know, this is again. We have enough of everything. Like there's everything already. Like so, if I'm gonna add to this, I want to add something unique that you want to use every day. I know how many plugins there. I know how many transient designers there are, but you have a choice. So I'm gonna make sure it's entertaining. In that space, you know, it's light.
Well, I just let the cat out the bag with my team. They was like, man, how you getting them snares popping? Mind your business, boy. Mind your business.
Stop playing. Share the wealth. I'm trying to change that narrative. I'm trying to be a sharer, man. This is why this podcast is so amazing. We sharing stuff like this.
We have snare wars in here, though.
Yeah,
so, you know, I got to win that, bro. They can't
compete, you know, have little friendly competitions and all that stuff.
Oh, it goes down.
On these guys right here. Too. Oh, yeah, we going. I know you going crazy.
But, yeah, that's really why I wanted to mention it, though, because I do think that, you know, if in any way our community could support what you're doing, I want people to be able to get these plugins. I think that the way it downloaded, the way you guys sent it, the business behind it was all legit. It was just like buying some shit from Native Instruments or something. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So I appreciate that.
I appreciate you for real. Like that's real love, man.
Yeah.
It's audiobox.com.
Black excellence too.
Black owned. Black owned. Manager black. A lot of our sound designers are black.
That's dope.
You know, it's like very conscious of what's going on and trying to build something really dope. Everybody's really authentic on the team. Everybody really loves this shit. We do this shit.
I can tell.
My manager moved from New York to L.A. to support the business.
Wow.
Like, it's really real. Like
Dedication.
Like
So what's next for it? Are you guys getting ready to just design more?
More pieces? Plugins. We have one really crazy thing that we're working on that we're just keeping under wraps. Yeah. But it's a game changer. You know, it's a real game changer. And then beyond that, we're doing a lot more content, valuable content. Because again, anything we're gonna do that's gonna fill a space. It's not gonna disrespect art. We're not doing money grabs.
Yeah, for sure.
We're doing stuff
I'm glad for that too.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like it's all love, bro. We trying to do it for real.
That's dope.
So the content that we're doing is high level. It's really dope. And we're just in partnership with people. Look how we're going to distribute it.
Mm-hmm.
But we're building an incredible brand. It's more than sound packs and plugins. This is something that you never really seen before. You know what I mean? Lifestyle type shit. It's gonna be a whole thing, for sure.
Well, we with it.
That's dope. Now speaking of we was talking about your diversity a little bit earlier, and I know people who hear the podcast always think I say this every time, but it's true. When I research a producer, I always find a song. It's one of my favorites that I didn't know you did.
Oh, let's go.
Let's go.
What's this?
T-Pain.
Yeah.
And anybody that knows me, I make a lot of playlists. And back in the day, back in like 2011, 2012, I would make CDs and just pass them out of my favorite songs that I like.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah. And anybody that knows me know this particular song from T-Pain, so I think it was a Revolver album, a song called I Don't Give a Fuck.
Hey.
One of my favorite songs.
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Hey. Like, come on with your friends. Like, that was one of my favorite songs ever. Yeah. I'm like, oh,
hey,
shit.
How you gonna do that again?
No, I'm not gonna do it again. But thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for that. And I want to talk about, you know, because I think you were working with Tech N9ne a lot. Yeah, and then T-Pain. Yeah. How was that transition? How did you go from...
That story is crazy.
And
okay.
Revolver, you did a lot of work. It was a mixtape before then.
Pre-Volver.
If you did the whole mixtape.
Yeah,
you
know Pre-Volver. If you want to hear some great music that never been heard, go hear Pre-Volver.
Yeah. Wow. I downloaded the mix. I appreciate you.
It predates like some Trinidad vibe. We had a really good vibe when we first started working. So it was just creative freedom. You know what I'm saying? It was really a mixtape, so we didn't have to do no label shit.
Yeah.
So. It was just really fun.
But I Don't Give a Fuck was one of my favorite songs. And you did the one with E-40 too, that Nothing song.
Yeah.
That was a
bro, I was so happy to get E-40 on come a beat, on, man. Bro. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
From Iowa, bro? That is, man, 40 so, water,
like
man.
Talk about that whole time in your life and producing and going from Tech N9ne to T-Pain.
Okay, so I'm from Iowa. So, you know, getting into T-Pain and all that is really crazy.
Yeah.
I started out on this this beat battling site called... Rock Battle.
Mm-hmm.
And even how I got onto Rock Battle was poetic in hindsight. I was over at my homie's house, and all my homies, they was smoking and drinking. I've always been a super straight edge, never drank, never smoked type shit. And so when I went over there, they smoking and drinking, doing what they do. This is at the point when I'm feeling like I'm about to stop fucking with these niggas because they just ain't about shit. Even though I love them, these are my guys. I love them, but they just ain't on the same shit.
Right.
And they had this magazine on the table, and it was at XXL. And I'm not really into magazines, but it was flipped open to an ad for Rock Battle, a whole page ad. And I just looked. They had a beer can on it, and I'm like, smooth as shit. Oh, this shit looks crazy. And it was like online. This is the internet was like baby. So like I was like, oh yeah, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
I went home that night, bro. Made a profile. I started doing my research, and you know I got real methodical about how I was gonna win. It's crazy. That's my life. Like I've always been pretty methodical. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Like thinking about what I'm gonna do. I really researched the site. I saw the top dudes.
Like manifesting.
Yeah. Not like real. That's a whole nother. Like we could really go there. But like what I saw what I could do. To beat the system, I felt like I knew people that I needed to beat that would get me recognition on a site so that I could, you know, climb the ladder. Because the social ladder is all like social.
Didn't you beat Rockwilder a couple times?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I beat him. I actually beat him every time, but they cheated me. Rockwilder, you know it. Hey, Rockwilder told me in person in New York, listen, I do not tell a lie. He's like, man, you got me. you know I got you. Come on, bud. They couldn't let that happen. Even the administrators at the time told me, we couldn't let that happen. I won in votes.
Yeah.
And they waited. It's like five admins that have waited votes.
Yeah.
And they all voted against me. Yeah, and so it just was like, I'm like, come on. The whole crowd, you can look at the comments. Niggas like, yo, it's crazy. Yo, y'all are corny. But... they gave me a little $500 prize. I was cool, whatever. But the more important thing was it branded me. You know what I mean? Like, I'll be forever grateful to Rockwell and everybody on that for that. Like, it really catapulted me and taking into this whole industry and taking it really serious.
Yeah.
So after I beat Rockweiler, it really was a big deal for a lot of people because everybody saw what it was. And so I got a bunch of like internet stuff. Like I was on a bunch of sites for free and just like ambassador and stuff. And I got on this site called PNP Worldwide. I think it's called something else now.
I remember that.
But it was interesting.
Yeah.
But I got on there for free because they was using me to advertise their site as cool producers. And then I was making a bunch of independent money on there, which was dope. And then I linked with this guy. His name is leaving me right now. Someone money, but he was just a cool dude. Weird. I'm really weird about sending out beats. I don't know how y'all are about that.
Yeah.
But I was like really weird back then. I didn't want to send none out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so he kept asking me for beats, and I'm just like, I don't know. Just I never had done it also up to that point really like that. So eventually I gave in, sent him some beats. He's like, these are dope. I'm going to play them to people. A couple months go by. He hits me. He's like, yo, I play some shit for Young Cash. He want to talk to you. I'm like, all right, bet. This is dope. I'm in Iowa. Young Cash is dope.
Yeah.
And so Young Cash hits me on the phone. He's like, yo, man, you dope as shit, bro. You super dope. And this was actually on Skype. It was on Skype. Yeah.
That's crazy.
So we were on Skype, and he was sitting right there, and we were just talking. I'm like, man, that's so dope. He's like, yo, man, you too dope, though. I got to pass you to my man, and my man's right here. And then T-Pain hops his happy ass in the camera, and I'm like,
yo.
Wow. What's up, man? He's like, what's up, man? It's like super, you know, energy, you know, whatever. And my mind was blown. You know what I mean? Like, I'm 19 maybe at the time.
Wow.
Like, yeah, man, I want you to come out to Florida. He was in Miami recording shit. And so I flew down the next week, and it was insane, bro. I met everybody. That's really, it's like, I met everybody. I met Chris Brown. Oh, I met Lil Wayne.
That's a lot of good stuff. I want to hear all of that. We got to take a quick break.
Oh.
And then we'll come right back.
Yeah. All right. Let's go.
This week's Beat Break is brought to you by Airbit producer Panacho. Check him out on airbit.com. Panacho. The title of this beat is called Waterfall. Free Game Podcast. Yeah.
Airbit.com.
Welcome back to the Free Game Producer Podcast. I'm so hyped, man. You know, I'm so hyped about learning, you know, about all these crazy stories. So, mm-hmm. Picking back up, you got on Skype with T-Pain, mm-hmm. Went down to Florida, and it's like, wow.
Yeah, I met everybody, man. I met Chris Brown. I met Lil Wayne, everybody on Cash Money. It was all at the Hit Factory.
Yeah.
And Hit Factory at the time was going crazy.
Yeah, it was.
Everybody was there. Mm-hmm. Timbaland was there. I played beats for Timbaland.
Wow.
Like, wow. Man, it was crazy. I literally went from being in Iowa to that.
That's crazy.
You know what I mean? Like, it was the most explosive, craziest thing that could ever happen. So, yeah. I learned a lot.
That's dope.
I was thrown into it because obviously I hadn't done I ain't been in no real studio. Ain't no real studios in Iowa. Still,
yeah.
There's no real studio. So I ain't never vocal. I mean, I had vocal produced my homies, which was a good prep, but it wasn't the real deal. So yeah. I was thrown into everything.
So for all of our producers at home who have aspirations of, like, you know, getting these big placements and really getting mm-hmm. put on, how did you navigate at that point in terms of, like, your business? Did you get a manager? Did you, like, how did you start shopping your beats at that point? Like, how did you get from there to where you are now?
I think everybody's path is very different. And especially mine, but, you know, at the time I did get a manager. It's my homie. Just somebody I just knew.
Yeah.
And then I was around a lot of people. Like, so for me, it was just a little different. Like, you know, I was with T-Pain. So, like, after that, it's, you know, the standard is high. Like,
yeah.
So it wasn't the same thing as it would be today. today is different. I'm, you know, I manage myself now, though I've been managing myself for 7 years.
Yeah.
So manage myself, do everything myself. I run a whole company myself. You know what I mean? Like big boy shit. So that's all I really do now. And so it's really a big part of who I am now.
Yeah, I think you know, management for me was really just to kind of help me navigate through the business at times when you just don't know what you're doing.
You're
somebody to be like, maybe you should look at that type of guy. You know what I mean? Or
yeah.
Or, you know what I'm saying?
You should look at that. That's
So, I mean, and you learn over time. I mean, I made a bunch of mistakes with my manager, just as many with it, my managers I did without them. So it's just kind of like, I get that. I understand that you just kind of grow into your business.
Yeah, you definitely do. I don't think everybody needs a manager also. I think that's a misconception. For everything that I really, really accomplished, I accomplished, you know, the myself. You know, when I really
I found out over years, a lot of times I just needed like an assistant, somebody just help me get shit
done.
What
you get. Yeah, you like somebody that's gonna keep you efficient.
Yeah.
And do the stuff that's time consuming, that you can't really focus on, that you're you don't have your expertise at.
Yeah.
Those are helpful people, yes, for sure.
Well, the reason why I asked that question was because obviously, you know, you've been doing some real big things with like Jaden Smith. Mm-hmm. Will Smith, you know, how did all that come about?
Now, that's a cool story also. So I actually met my mentor. His name is Omar Rambert, OG. Like, he's probably one of the most legendary people you don't know.
Yeah.
And he's responsible for the creative with all the Smith stuff.
Which is high level
creativity.
Bro, I was just like, what is going on?
When I tell you he's one of the most creative people on the planet, it's no joke. Yeah. He talks, I listen type shit. And I don't listen. I mean, not that I don't listen to anybody, but you know, people, you know.
You're right.
So when I met him in 2015, like right after I broke my hip, I had a random session with my girl, Candace. Shout out to Candace. She's dope, super dope singer.
Yeah.
And
Play?
Okay,
it don't matter. I just thought that's who it was. Because she's dope too.
My girl. So we were having a session, and at the end of the session, this random dude comes up. He's like super excited to see me, and I don't, you know, I'm really not that guy. Like, I don't really, I'm not like, I'm super kind of chill.
Yeah.
So he came, I'm like, yo, man, what's up? You fight? Oh my God, bro, you so dope. And I was like, yeah, thank you. I didn't really know how to take it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? No disrespect, I just didn't know how to take it because it was a lot. Now I'm done with the session, I'm ready to go. And he's like, bro, Jado told me about you. Then I was like, oh, okay, that's my bro, Jado. Okay, we good. He's like, man, Jado been playing me some shit, bro. You crazy. I got somebody I need to introduce you to. And he was so emphatic about this. And, you know, it was like he knew the future. Like, it was crazy.
Wow.
And we only met each other that day. Like, and we had a great connection that day.
Yeah.
But there was no way for him to, I don't know how he knew.
Yeah.
But he was just like, and he knows hella people. Like, he's the man, by the way. He's a writer. He wrote a bunch of Iggy Azalea stuff, a bunch of other stuff. He's an artist. He was in a group called Fly Panda, all kinds of wild shit. He's a dope artist now and doing wild shit. So he's a crazy person, and he knows hella people. But for him to connect me directly with Omar was just a weird, crazy coincidence.
Yeah.
He was like, you need to meet him, bro. He fucks with the Smiths and all that. Y'all niggas are going to go crazy. And I was like, all right, bet, set it up. Man, it's L.A., though. People be talking, so I don't really know.
Of course.
Yeah.
And he hits me probably a couple days later, and he's like, yo, come to the studio. It's the Boom Boom Room, which is literally like 3 blocks from my house at the time. I'm right in the middle of North Hollywood. And I pull up, and I see, I'm on crutches, like which is the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all ever did crutches, like where you really need crutches.
Yeah.
It's the most demasculating thing in life, bro. You can't do nothing. You can't pee. You can't poop, you can't get out the car.
Right.
You can't cool doing nothing. That shit is trash. Yeah. And nobody knows. You just look at a guy on crutches and you don't know his life.
Right.
Okay.
He's
going through it, bro. Mentally.
You're still pressing through though. You're still showing up.
Yeah, but you gotta do it. You gotta do it. You gotta do what you gotta do, bro.
Yeah.
I'm not finna sit at the crib with Omar at the studio. I'm going. So, you know, I got my fly on, put my little crutches on, you know what I'm saying? And went stand pull up. And his vibe was super chill. He's one of those guys that don't give no reaction.
Yeah.
None. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you don't know what's happening. Mm-hmm. You know, he's like, yo, what's up, man? Cool vibe. The whole studio's all vibed out. You know, I'm like, all right, this is cool. I start playing joints. After a while, he couldn't contain his reaction.
Yeah, he's like,
damn, this nigga's nice. You could just see it on his face. Like, whoa, shit. You know, like, damn. And it was just a really, really, really dope moment. And I look back, I'm like, ooh, okay, he fucks with it. All right. All right, he fucks with it. I'll be good to go. Yeah. And then after maybe like four joints, Jaden just runs in the room. And I shit you not, like 2 weeks before this, I'm talking with my girl on the bed. We had seen Jaden and Willow doing this thing at one of the festivals with Just Water and some like some really cool like hippie shit. And I was like, man, I really fuck with the Smiths.
Yeah.
Like back to your point about the manifestation, right, bro. Like my whole life is a manifestation, yes, bro. I promise you. And in that moment, but it was like, it was wild, bro. Like I looked at this nigga and I'm like, 2 weeks ago, I'm sitting on the bed with my girl like, man, I really fuck with him. I want to meet him. And I just want to meet him. Like, it wasn't even like I want to do no music. I didn't really know, like, his music like that, honestly. I just thought he was fire. I'm like, yo, this is, I fuck with what he's doing.
Right.
And, whew, 2 weeks, probably one of the fastest manifestations I've ever seen. And it's so far of a stretch from where I was.
Right.
And I just was blown away. He walked in with the craziest energy. And I was in the middle of playing a beat. So he literally runs in. And he's like, yeah. Doing young nigga shit, and I'm like, oh, this is incredible. And so he's fucking with it. He's like, who is this guy? And I'm like, introduce myself and my crutches, and it's just a crazy vibe. And he took one of the beats I played, went to another studio, started recording. He was in there for like maybe 10 minutes. It was just wild. That was just wild. All this has happened by me doing, and what the core of this is I did a session with my homegirl, because that's my girl. Like, she's at a label in this weird situation, and like, it's one of those things where people don't usually do sessions with these kind of artists because they always feel like, niggas be on the money grab. So they're like, oh, I'm not going to take that session because I don't know where she's going or whatever, right, whatever. But this is my dog. Like, I love her. And I'm like, I'm going to do this session. And I was busy as hell at the time, but I'm like, I'm going to always do a session for Cam. Mm-hmm. Pulled up. Thank God I did that session. Changed my whole life.
Changed your life.
She don't even know that, by the way. She going to find out when she see this, but it's like, she didn't even know that. She didn't even know. Yo, sound man going crazy. That's wild. Yo, yeah, it's beautiful, bro. It's beautiful, and that's changed my life more than anything, because I never had a mentor coming out of Iowa, bro. I've been fending myself the whole time. Like, I ain't never know even my manager's in New York, so even when I'm in LA, it's just me. In Atlanta and stuff, it's just me.
Yeah.
So I never had nobody to pull off if I'm making good decisions, bad decisions, really none of that.
Right.
And he the first person that came through and was like, teaching me about how to build my family, how to really focus on the things that matter, and artists that I really, really, really rock with, rather than just doing all this stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean? And kind of like, I work so efficiently now. Everything I'm working on is shit that's coming out. Yeah. You know, I'm not doing no fucking random songs for people that you know what I'm saying? Like, it refined the way I work, and it brought joy back into what I'm doing. You know what I'm saying? Not that it wasn't there, but it's fading. You know, doing it for this long, it gets annoying.
Yeah.
When you don't have as much control over what is happening. You can make the hottest beat in the world, but shit, that don't matter. You know, this shit is a whole culmination of things that has to go right for you to get a placement.
Right.
That's a place that a lot of producers, I'm sure, will want to get to, where they can kind of do the work that they want to do.
Absolutely.
As opposed to just trying to survive out here.
Yeah, that's the dream. I mean, to me, that's what this is all about. I'm good. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything after this is a bonus. I got a good family. I'm making good money and I'm doing what I love. Like, for real. What I love. Not just doing music.
That's what it's about.
Free gang.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of times people just, the money overshadows everything. And it's like, really, it's just money, man. Like, it is what it is.
I'm not going to devalue money because I do love money.
Yeah, no, we all do.
But here's the thing. When you're doing what you love, money is a byproduct.
Yeah,
it's gonna happen, bro.
Right.
Like, you don't even have to chase it, bro. And just be good.
That's kind of the point I'm on. Yep. It's like, you know, I realize that when I just relax and just do it with flows and what happens, the next thing you know, you start getting these bags and they coming from places that you wouldn't even expect them to come from. So, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good look.
Random.
Yeah.
Always. And you know, you just got to do what you love, bro. When you do what you love, if it just starts, you're like a magnet. I promise, bro. Start happening.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's dope. So what would be the biggest piece of advice you would give to somebody who's trying to get to that point? That maybe they are doing things that they're not too crazy about because they got to pay their bills and they're trying to get to that point. What would be the, major thing to kind of help you turn that corner to get to get there?
I don't know. It's a lot of things. It's really hard to give one point. And I really don't like the idea of advice, even though I give advice all the time. Because life is so subjective, you know what I mean? Everything is so situational. It's so situational because I could give somebody terrible advice depending on their position. It could be great advice for somebody else.
That's right.
That's true. My thing is always figuring out like who you are and figuring out what you really love. I think that's the goal. You know, who you are. Like, who am I? Who the hell am I? In a world where they're constantly trying to tell you who you are.
That's important. We don't have those conversations with ourselves.
No, enough. Especially as creatives. Yeah. You know, we keep a lot of stuff in. We don't talk about nothing. But, you know, all the social media is trying to tell you who to be. Man. All the TV is telling you who to be. All your friends telling you who to be. You don't, I know, people don't meditate. I've been meditating for almost 11 years. You know
that's
what I'm
saying? That's
a big thing. We had a stigma in the community that meditation is weird. I had a conversation with an artist that I won't name, but tried meditation one time and was like, man, that shit's stupid. And I'm just like, man, we got to change. We got to do better.
Yeah.
We got to do better. Yeah. You know, like meditation is the break, the only break your mind will ever get. Your mind work when it's sleep, it's dreaming, it's doing all kinds of shit. When you meditate, bro, it's like you put the weights down. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not thinking about shit. I'm not stressing about anything. I'm here. I'm in this moment. I'm not.
Yeah, I need to practice that.
I was ready to say, go on.
Yo, bro, man, seriously, like,
it's life-changing, bro.
My issue that I've always had with meditating is I could never get the voices to be quiet. I could never
It takes time, bro. It takes time. And you can't, like, you got to give it time. You got to give it. You got to give it time. And the thing is, it's not even about getting the voices quiet at first. What it's about is realizing what the voices are saying. You know what I'm saying? What's going on back there? Because that's what's really going on with you. You know what I'm saying? Like what you won't talk about to your friends.
Yeah.
And what's really bothering you. It's back there. And when you sit still, that's why people don't like it. Because you got to confront your demons. You got to confront your demons. They right there. And they in the back of your mind all the time.
That's right.
Like running. Imagine a computer running a baby virus all the time behind it, just slowing it down. That's basically what's happening. So you cleaning out your system every time you sit down to meditate, like just addressing your issues, seeing them. You know what I'm saying? Just seeing them. Like look at it. So you understand because you can identify. Once you can identify the problem, you can begin to solve it.
You can start working on it.
You can't solve it if you don't see it. It's just back there chilling. You know what I'm saying? So I listen, it's imperative for me. I'm a very creative person. My brain does not stop. If I do not meditate, I will implode. I have to. You know what I mean?
Wow. I got what I needed from this conversation just now.
That's worth everything. What you just said.
I appreciate that. It's love, man. Yeah. It's not weird. It's going to be tough for sure. But you got to understand there's no wrong way to do it. I got to talk about it right because people have a bad misconception. Yeah. You think you're doing it wrong because you can't shut your mind up. Man, it's like the art of meditation is you see the thought, recognize the thought, let it go. See the thought, recognize the thought. Getting back to center, you know what I'm saying? Like the art of meditation is seeing the thought and realizing that you're thinking, like realizing that, oh shit, let me chill, get back to center. Just seeing it, pull them back. That's like an exercise, like a pull up, you know what I'm saying? Like see the thought, let it go. See the thought, let it go. Man, people be having like childhood shit they ain't never addressed. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm an advocate for counseling and all that stuff too, but like you can help yourself a lot just by stop bullshitting and address and the things. Get to it, you know what I mean? It's a big thing.
Seriously, we had a lot of good stuff on this interview, but that might be one of the most impactful things right there.
Oh, man. Listen, it changed my whole life. And, you know, when I broke my hip, bro, it saved me. I could have been into depression.
Yeah.
For sure. I couldn't do shit, bro.
You can't move. You can't get around.
I can't do nothing, bro. I had to ask my girl to help me go pee, bro. I had to ask my girl.
Panic mode for me, bro.
Yo, like, it's you know, bro, you know, man, as a man, alpha man, bro, it is really crazy.
Yeah.
So, you know, meditation really helped get me through that entire thing. I couldn't have made it, bro. It was way too down. Like, it was just sad. And then meditation, like, helped me deal with it. I got addicted to meditation.
That's dope. You know? That's dope, man.
Man. Well, let's let everybody know where they can, you know, find you at, anything you want them to go look at, any websites, any pages, you know.
Well, definitely go to audiobox.com, audiobox.com. Definitely check me out at Young Fire, FYRE on Instagram and Twitter and everything, Facebook, all that, if you're on Facebook. I'm going to get on TikTok, too. Gary Vee tells me I need to be on TikTok.
Yeah, you do. So formerly I'm musically, but now it's called TikTok.
Yeah, TikTok. Yeah. I'm going to get on there, start doing my, you know, whatever that is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's going to be Young Fire on there, too.
That's dope.
So, yeah.
Well, man, I want to thank you personally, man, for coming on the show.
Yeah, of course, brother.
You've been here to the spot a few times, man. Yeah. We met, shook hands, man. I just, you know, I wanted to just kind of let you know, man, how serious we are about this. And, you know, you coming here and talking is really important. Thank you very much.
So much love, bro. Yeah. I appreciate what you're doing for the community. This is the most necessary thing in our community right now.
Yes, sir.
And you're doing it in the right way.
Yes, sir.
This is beautiful. It's beautiful. I'm grateful.
Well, come back, man, once you get some more things turning.
What's
that turning that James project come up?
Oh, yeah. Tell us about the projects right quick. What can we be looking for right now?
Oh, yeah. So me and Trinidad, though, thank you. We just put out a song called Playlist, which is a jam. I'm in there, you know what I'm saying, doing my thing, too. My boy, and so we got a joint project we're working on. The title we keep in tuck, but we got a project we dropping next year, top of next year. We got another song called Ugly coming out right before Halloween. The video's incredible.
Nice.
And we got some surprise coming, performances and a couple of really cool things and content pieces with that, too.
So that's dope.
Yeah.
Well, there it is.
Free
Game Podcast.
Yes,
Free Game. Yo, we hope you enjoyed this episode of the Free Game Podcast. If you did enjoy it, make sure you subscribe to the Airbit channel right below. Just hit subscribe on the button below. Or you can go to youtube.com/airbit, you know what I'm saying? If you're feeling the podcast, make sure you share it, let your friends know. Also, there's an audio version of the podcast. Look in the notes below and you'll see where to subscribe to that at.
Yeah.
Free Game Podcast.
Free Game.